The scripture reading this morning will be from 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever.
Looks different from this podium. I'm used to the other one. However, thank you all for being here. I appreciate you coming, hearing the word of the Lord being put forth this day. In that particular verse, we see we have a problem when we love the world. And it's in our nature to do so. And this is not a new problem. This goes back to ancient times. And one of the things that I want to take a look at is in Isaiah. Now there are several books in chapters in Isaiah that deal with idols. And the idols that we have in front of us today may not be the graven images that Isaiah is talking about, but the mentality is still the same. So let's take a quick peek at, and I'm going to do some reading today. I was kind of hoping to have a nice presentation, if you will, but technology eludes me. I'm not all that great on it. But at least we can read. And the Word of God says these things. Isaiah chapter 44, and beginning in verse 9, says, "Those who fashion a graven image are all of them futile, and their precious things are of no profit. Even their own witnesses fail to see or know that they will be put to shame. Who has fashioned a god or cast an idol to no profit? Behold, all his companions will be put to shame, for the craftsmen themselves are mere men. Let them all assemble themselves. Let them stand up. Let them tremble. Let them together be put to shame. The man shapes iron into a cutting tool and does his work over the coals, fashioning it with hammers and working it with his strong arm. He also gets hungry and his strength fails. He drinks no water and becomes weary. Another shapes wood. He extends a measuring line. He outlines it with red chalk. He works it with planes and outlines it in a compass and makes it like the form of a man, like the beauty of man, so that it may sit in a house. Surely he cuts cedars for himself, takes a cypress or an oak, raises it for himself amongst the trees of the forest. He plants a fir, and the rain makes it grow. Then it becomes something for a man to burn. So he takes one of them and warms himself. He also makes a fire to bake bread. He also makes a god and worships it. He makes it a graven image and falls down before it. Half of it he burnt in the fire. Over the half he eats meat, roast to roast. And is satisfied, he also warms himself and says, "Aha, I am warm. I have seen the fire." But the rest of it, he makes into a god, his graven image. He falls down before it and worships. He also prays to it and says, "Deliver me, for thou art my God." They do not know, nor do they understand, these idols. For he is smeared over their eyes so they cannot see, and their hearts they cannot comprehend. And no one recalls, nor is there knowledge or understanding to say, "I've burned half of it in the fire, and also have baked bread over its coals. I roast meat and eat it. Then I make the rest of it into an abomination. I fall down before a block of wood." That block of wood is just that. It was a created thing. Man did not make it. But you notice that when he's talking about these things, when he's talking about the tree, that tree was created not by the man. That tree was created by God, the one who created the entire universe. Whether he takes gold and turns it into an image, the gold the man did not create, because the man is also created. The creator is the one who can make something from nothing, because we realize what happened. He spoke and the universe came to be. That's how mighty and powerful our God is. Not something that was also created right along with the man. But the man somehow wants to be on equivalent with God. He wants to be like God. But at the same time, he has to make something that looks kind of like him. And there it sits. It can't hear. It can't walk. It can't do anything. And he's going to bow down to it. This is the Hello McFly moment that Isaiah is talking about. He's like, hey, look what you're doing. You're bowing before a block of wood. Don't you feel just a little insane here? This is not what you were meant to do. Let's take a quick look at what God says that he is. And in that very same chapter, he says at the beginning of chapter 44, he says, but now listen, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says the Lord, who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you. Do not fear, O Jacob, my servant, and you, Jerusalem, whom I have chosen. For I will pour out water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants, and they will spring up among the grass like poplars by streams of water. This one will say, I am the Lord's. And that one will call on the name of Jacob. And another will write on his hand, belonging to the Lord. And will name Israel's name with honor. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last, and there is no God beside me. Who is like me? Let him proclaim and declare it. Yes, let him recount it to me in order from the time that I established the ancient nation. Let them declare to them the things that are coming and the events that are going to take place. Do not tremble and do not be afraid. Have I not long since announced to you and declared it? And you are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? Is there any other rock? I know of none. That's what God said. If you go back into Deuteronomy, at the beginning of Moses' prayer, the Song of Moses, in Deuteronomy in chapter 32, Moses spoke to the hearing of the assembly the words of this song until they were complete. Give ear, O heavens, and let me speak, and let the earth hear the words of my mouth. Let my teaching drop as rain, my speech distill as the dew, as the droplets on the fresh grass. And as the showers on the herb, for I proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God, the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are just. A God of faithfulness, without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. We can spend a great deal of time in Isaiah looking at these different things. The things where God says, I am God. There is none besides me. We can look and see all these different things where men have done dumb things and taken something that was, what, when God created it, was good. Right? Isn't that what he said in Genesis? He made these things and said they were good. But man can take it and turn it into a detestable thing, an abomination, because he's putting it before the Lord God. This thing that was created, that man then turns around and tries to make into an image and puts it before the Lord God. Isaiah said, hey, what are you doing? Don't you understand? But of all the things that are created, including us, What did God impart to us that was different than the rest of creation? If we look at the heavens, if you look at a tree, there's a single blade of grass. Does not creation speak of the glory of God, the Creator? And then there's us. What's the one thing that we share, the created, that we share with the Creator? He put His Spirit into us. And one of the things that we share with Him that is greater than all is love. What does John tell us? God is what? Love. Paul writes it over and over again that we are to love one another. The greatest commandment of God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love is the key. Not a block of wood. That wood can't love. That silver idol or golden idol can't love. It can't do anything but sit there. It was created just like we were. But we share something with the Creator that block of wood doesn't. That we can love one another. We can go out and proclaim the name of Jesus Christ as our Savior. Because He loved us so much. He's going to bring us back to Him. To gather us from wandering and bring us home. All of these things become something that we should steer away from if we are ever thinking about or finding ourselves putting something in front of our God. Who is great? Who is greater than me? I know of none. We also see that for these, in order for us to love and to be familiar with the Lord, we need to understand what certain things are. If we do not keep love as our base, and understanding that we share that very fine, very wonderful emotional power with God, if we can't keep that as our base, we're going to wander off. And we can't be wandering off. We can't look at the world, and as the scripture that was chosen, if we love the world, the things we see and desire, the things, if we're envious of others who have wealth or whatever in the world, power. If those become our modern day idols, we're putting those before God. We're seeking success in this world above success in heaven. And heaven is where it's at. The world will pass away. Scripture tells us that. All of these things will pass away. But who remains? Who remains? God. And God is love. And if we're not going to love one another, if we're not going to grasp on to the thing that we share with the Creator, then we have really lost it. Then we are bowing down before a block of wood. We are wondering, what in the world can we do if we don't have our block of wood? Oh, the world's got its block of wood and I don't have one. Don't worry about that, folks. Brothers and sisters, it's not about the block of wood. It's not about the chunk of gold. It's all about living in faith that Christ Jesus died for us. He loved us so much. That love is shown in action. I appreciate Rick when he was talking about is what you do. Building up the things that you are going to do in response to the love given you. Are we going to do something? Or are we going to hold up our block of wood? Are we going to take this thing that was good at one time that we have made into a lie? The thing that we have now made into a detestable thing? An abomination? Are we going to hang on to that because that's what the rest of the world is doing? Or are we going to cast that aside and love our God as much as He loves us? What are our idols? Are we chasing gold and silver? Are we worried about status? Are we letting our own evil nature become the idol that puts us in front of God because we have certain desires and lusts of things that we see in the world? And somebody says, hey, this is good. But is it? If it becomes between you and the Lord, then no. It's not good. We see in a lot of cases, if you turn on the TV, look in our political spectrum, it seems like the earth, nature, is now God. As they will tell you, oh, we can do this and we can change the climate. It's not what God says. So if we're going to put nature first and try to grasp onto that thing because it's something that we can see and kind of touch, we know we can affect certain parts. But again, it is a created thing, just as we are. We can't create it. We can't change it. Because we are held in love by our God, the one who created us. And it's not up to us to worry about or worship the earth. We are to worship God. I want to take a look in 1 John. There's so much good stuff here that we could just go on forever and ever. But I know we have time limits. So let's take a quick look in 1 John. Two things that we want to look at when we're talking about this love that has been demonstrated for us. And if you turn to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16, he says, we know love by this, that he, that is Christ Jesus, laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. We got to have faith to act on love, don't we? It's not something that maybe even comes natural, but it's one of the things that we have to look at when it comes to where is our faith leading us? Can we do anything with it? Or are we just going to sit there and just hope for the best? Most of the time, just sitting there and hoping for the best doesn't work very well. But when it comes to this faith, if you look in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, he says this. The writer is giving you the definition of faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. The conviction, in other words, the belief of things not seen. For by it, the men of old gained approval. When we look at and understand what the men of old did, whether you're talking Abraham or whether you're talking Noah, they acted on faith. They knew that the God that they followed loved them, and that they would do what he told them to do. Because there is no God above the God that we serve. John continues in chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Well, that'd make a great song, wouldn't it? Oh, it is. Sorry. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. For by this, the love of God was manifested in us. His love was manifested in us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love. And here's the killer part. Not that we loved God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We didn't love God first. He loved us. The Creator looked down upon the created. And even though they do stupid things, and He goes, "Hello, that's a block of wood. I love you. I want you with me." The only way to get with Him is to love Him, to follow His commandments, and that we love one another. Throw those blocks of wood away. All those who fashion the idols, Isaiah said, are mere men. And he talks about that. Oh, they work and work and they swing their hammers and they cut the wood and they carve and they don't eat or drink because they're making this thing, and then they grow weary. Because they're men, not gods. As bad as they want to be, they're not. Merely men. Created things. Who is like our God? I know of none. Who is before Him? I know of none. God is the rock. God is the most awesome, the most beautiful thing ever. And everything that He made is good. Even us. Can we mess it up? Yeah. Have we messed it up? Yeah, big time. But does it have to stay that way? No, it doesn't. It doesn't have to stay that way. The thing that we need to do is realize who our God is. That we need to stop bowing down before that block of wood. And we need to put that idol away. It may not be the physical manifestation that Isaiah is talking about. But if it's between you and God, you're looking at whatever this is, a quest for personal power, a quest for money, a quest for success in the world, and it's between you and God, that's your idol and you need to cast it aside. Men make up things, saying that they're good. God created things and said that they were good. Who are you going to trust? I trust the rock. The one who is above all. The one who was, is, and will forever be. The one that we can trust. The one who does hear us and not just sit there with ears that can't hear. The one who does watch over us and not that thing, that detestable thing that sits there with eyes that cannot see. The one who loves us is who we need to trust. If you've got idols and need to throw them away, now's the time. If you need the prayers of the church, if you need to understand and put on Christ and cast those burdens down, cast those idols down and get things right, now is the time. If you're going to follow Jesus, make that decision and let's stand and sing.